Amen. Amen. He's King of kings and He's Lord of lords. He's Master of everything. He's the Lord of your life. He's the Lord of my life. We're grateful for what Jesus has accomplished. Amen. Have you ever just sat back and just thought, just exactly what all has Jesus done for me? There was a man that was about to throw in the towel. He was called to preach the gospel. He was really just backing off of everything. And he went to his pastor one day and he said, "Pastor, I'm done. I'm just finished." He said, "I just don't have anything else to offer." And the pastor just listened to him for a little bit and listened to his mumbling and complaining and everything. And he turned to him and he said, "Would you do me just one favor?" He said, "I've given you the favor of listening to you and everything else." And the man said, "Sure, whatever you ask, Pastor." He said, "I'd like for you to go home and I'd like you to sit down, pull out a piece of paper, and I want you to write everything that the Lord's done for you. Just write everything that the Lord's done for you. And then after you're finished, when you're ready, give me a call, come back, and let's see where you stand." So he went home. He said, "I'll do that." So he went home and he began to sit down. And he filled up one page. Then he filled up another page. Then he filled up another page. And then he filled up the fourth page. And when he got at the end of the fourth page, he said, "I haven't even written but a small part of what God has done for me." He said, "I'm going to have to go back and tell the pastor, I can't quit. I can't quit." So he went in and he called the pastor, and the pastor set him up an appointment for the next day. And he sat down and with the pastor and he looked at the pastor. He said, "Pastor, I did what you said." And he said, "I can't quit. God has just done way too much for me, even more than what I have written down. It is so vast and it is so great. How can I quit a living Savior that has done so much for me?" Amen. How many of you feel that way? There is no thing as quit in our vocabularies. We're just not quitters. We just keep on keeping on because that's what God has called us to do. He has paid a full price. We should be extremely grateful and appreciative. Listen, those of you that come to this church right here, you know how blessed you are. And if you don't know that, I'm telling you, you're blessed. You're blessed. Listen, to have what you have and the teaching that you get, and the different guests and stuff that come into the house to minister to you. You know, with Diane and I pastoring for 41 years and everything else, I know a good church when I see it. Amen. And I'm blessed to say I have an anointed pastor that operates way beyond his years. And you need to be grateful. And then we have an apostle to the house that's just on top. He's just tops. And we're just grateful and thankful that we have what we have. You're truly blessed. There's a young lady that's sitting right in front of me who is a precious child of the living God that has spent many years in research and study of who the Lord is and who she is in Him. And I know she has a great message for you this morning. So I want you to give our music team a good hand as they sit back down. Pastor Carla, the only person you're not going to be able to see right here is Kermit and Victoria.
I've already said hi to them.
Amen. Give her a good hand as she comes up here.
Thank you, Pastor Phil. Good morning, everyone. This is such a privilege for me to be with you today. This is the second time I've ministered in Victorious Adults. And when Pastor Phil asked me again, I just felt thrilled in my heart. I remember the first time I walked in, I thought, oh, this is my tribe. These are my age mates and so forth. No, some of you are a bit younger than I am, but such an honor to be with you. Please let me get set up. Let me get my... Yeah. Am I going to use this one?
No, you can do whatever you want.
Where? Do you all want me to kind of get right there in the doorway? Now let me get this. I can see. I've tried my best to leave my old school method of printing out my notes, and I would take yellow, blue, pink, and highlight and everything. This has been a big transition for me. It really has. But I'm just so grateful to be with Victorious Adults today. You know, we've been through things in our lives. We have experience that the blessed younger members of the congregation have not yet had. And so I'm just so thrilled to be with you. It's very special for me. And I'm preparing a message for the church in Kenya. I've got my heart on Israel. Yes, they've been going through something, haven't they? My heart is so much with them. And I want to give some background. I want to give a little bit of church history, and then I want to come into what I feel like the Lord wants us to really press into in this hour to prepare us for whatever lies ahead. I know whatever lies ahead involves the faithfulness of God to His faithful people. But I think the world has a pretty rough road ahead of them. But we are never caught unawares when we're walking in the Spirit. And I'll tell you, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not be unprepared or shocked because of what lies ahead. When my late husband and I first went to Kenya, we didn't realize we were staying, but after we realized we were staying and we were digging in and really purposing to understand Kenya and Africa, which has a very different culture than America. It's very different. And I must say, I've appropriated much of that culture in my own life, because I found it very godly. And we live in community in Africa. There is not even a word for privacy, because whatever happens in your life affects the whole community. And so there's no such thing as mind your own business. That's not even a phrase in Africa. We do things together. And that really took some adjusting for me to get used to. But how beautiful that is. And as we began that process of assimilating and understanding the culture of Africa, we realized one negative thing that was prominent throughout the continent. There are 54 nations in Africa. And so there are different customs in various tribes and regions and so forth. Many similarities and also differences. But one thing that we found that was very prevalent, and that was shockingly, they didn't like Israel. And this was because missionaries had gone before, particularly, and I'm not attacking. May I tell you the truth and it not seem like I'm attacking, because that's not what I'm doing. I'm informing you that Catholic fathers had gone throughout the continent and taught replacement theology. And so we found, we came upon a lot of misunderstanding about Israel, even hard-heartedness toward Israel. And it went like this, that after the resurrection of Jesus, the church replaced Israel. So it's called replacement theology. So they were taught that when you see the word Israel, Jew, Hebrew in the Bible, just take that out of the Bible and replace it with the church. The church replaced Israel. So every time you saw that word, they kicked out Jew, they kicked out Israel, they kicked out Jewish, and put the word church there. And they were taught that the Jewish people were no longer a part of God's plan, that they had been disqualified. And because they had rejected Jesus, and they had, and actually the teaching was the Jews crucified Christ, when we know very well the Gentiles were heavily involved in crucifying Christ. And actually, it was the Gentiles that nailed him to the cross, the Roman soldiers. So we were all involved, and it was all of our sin that was placed on Jesus as he was nailed to the cross. And so, as does happen sometimes in this other group that I spoke to you about, I know born-again Catholics, so, you know, I know Catholics that do not practice this. But I'm talking about a false doctrine that was perpetrated in Africa. And so they call the Jews Christ killers, that the Jews had murdered Jesus. And so, you know, this caused a lot of rejection and misunderstanding. There's just a handful of Jewish embassies in Africa. There are 54 nations in Africa, just a handful of Israeli embassies in Africa. And this doctrine was, yes, it was called the replacement theory, but it was also called the doctrine of rejection. And I'm telling you, I see that doctrine all over the United States of America and the world. In Europe, boy, they're having problems. They've given so much ground to those who truly hate the Jews. And I could say a lot right there about what's going on, of who is arming them, and so on and so forth. But in whatever situation we find ourselves, we are called to be obedient to the Word of God and to stand up for what is right and not be cowed down because what we know to be the truth is currently being set aside by so many. No, we are people of the word and of the truth. And we can never set aside Israel. We can never set aside our big brother and say that we have nothing to do with them and they've been rejected by God and they are no part of God's plan of salvation and so on and so forth. Let me give you some facts. This is a bit of a history. We're entering the history part of this. The first century church was essentially Jewish, and we're told the Gentiles were grafted in. And Jesus was crucified in A.D. 33, but in A.D. 70, Titus and the Romans sacked Jerusalem. And the Jewish leaders were scattered throughout that area. The temple was looted. Sacred objects were carried off. And the Jews were scattered. And the Jewish leaders were exiled from Jerusalem and from their homeland. The center of the church began to shift to Rome. See, we started in Israel, we started in Jerusalem, but with the rejection of Jesus, the Jews at least largely did reject Jesus as their Messiah, and Rome did sack Jerusalem. Peter and Paul both died in Rome. Jesus died 33 AD. Peter and Paul died in Rome in 66 AD, which meant that two of the church's pillars were removed. And the Apostle John died in Ephesus in 98 AD. So there were about 300 years that the church made progress, but it was in Gentile lands. So the church is growing and so forth. And for about 300 years, there was turmoil, but it was still had all the Jewish feasts, for example. And there was Jewish teaching and Jewish festivals that both the Jews and Christians celebrated. I want you to stay with me. We're going somewhere with this. Jews and Gentiles celebrated the Jewish feast, but the Gentile converts were gaining ground, and these were men who had been pagans. And so Justin Martyr wrote, now this is one of the early church fathers, and he wrote the scriptures, he wrote this about the Jews, the scriptures are not yours but ours. Can you imagine one of our early church fathers saying to the Jews, the scriptures are not yours, although the Bible was written predominantly by Jewish men, but they are ours. Tertullian, an early church father, wrote, God has rejected the Jews in favor of the Christians. And then Eusebius wrote, the promise of the Hebrew scriptures are now for the Christians and not the Jews, but the curses are for the Jews. And so this thinking spread broadly and widely, beginning with the 300s. The early church fathers, many of them, thoroughly hated the Jews. And even our beloved brother Martin Luther said, what have we to do with the Jews? And so there was a lot of misunderstanding and false teaching that permeated just a few hundred years after Christ's death. And then now we're in AD 325. And at the Council of Nicaea, the Roman Emperor Constantine prohibited all Christians from celebrating Passover. Although they had always celebrated Passover, they were now prohibited. And other feasts and festivals began to be instituted. Now, this is what I teach the church in Kenya. That is, you know, it's called the Christian calendar. It's not in the Bible, but that's what it's called. There are other events that we celebrate. But I tell them we're just going to sanctify these events just like you would sanctify meat that had been sacrificed to an idol. We're just going from our heart to scripturally worship in these events. So I'm not casting this out and casting aspersions on anybody, but in the Council of Nicaea, they were prevented from celebrating Passover, and they began to institute Roman holidays. And I'm just going to leave that right there. I'm not going to get on a soapbox today or contend with anybody. If I'm standing in front of my own church, you understand that we raised from the ground up. I'm going to be real forthright and so forth. But I'm respectful of these holidays, and we just do it, celebrate them in a very scriptural way. Hallelujah. Church, are you with me? I pray no one is offended. But do you know it's the truth that sets you free and gives you understanding, even of present day events. Hallelujah. And so I believe God's covenant with the Jews have never been nullified. Those covenants are in effect today, and the same blessings he promised Abraham, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. I believe that scripture is still in effect today, and that God has not rejected the Jews. And he has, now we don't make blood sacrifices today because the final shedding of blood happened on the cross of Calvary. Jesus fulfilled those sacrificial elements of the covenant. But listen, you just don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Is that a good old Texas saying? We don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. There is still so much to be gleaned and for us to appropriate. We have to have the mind of Christ, not the traditions of men. The traditions of men make the Word of God of none effect. And you don't want to tolerate that in any part of your thinking, your mind, your understanding of the truth, your heart, your obedience to the truth. All need to line up with heaven. Hallelujah. And so God's covenant with the Jews has never been nullified, and I believe every promise he promised them are ours today. I cannot ignore the old covenant and inherit what God intends for me to inherit. I cannot discount the old covenant and say that was for the Jews, but we have nothing to do with the Jews. We've replaced the Jews. I'm going to tell you that is not the truth. May I hear an amen? Amen. Galatians 3:28 says, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. Now see, this is the mind of Christ. Neither slave nor free, nor male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. I am one with the Jews. Amen. Hallelujah. I identify with my forefather, Abraham. I identify with Isaac. I identify with Jacob. I identify with King David and Joseph and Jeremiah the prophet and so on and so forth. I realize I'm one with them. I've been grafted in with them. I've not displaced the Jews. And then Genesis 12:3, I will bless those who bless you. And I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Church, this is an eternal covenant. And it is impossible for God to break covenant with the Jews. It is an eternal covenant. But I hear the Jews being vilified today throughout the earth, just like they were in the early years of the church. So much hatred heaped upon them. So actually, we look for the blessing of God, we look to the Jews. So for many years in Kenya, I taught, this was particularly something I taught, my husband taught some on it as well, but I taught about God's love for Israel. See, you have to counteract lies with the truth. I taught about God's love for Israel and the Jewish people, that it is an everlasting love. Hallelujah. I taught the Jewish calendar and the feasts and all that had been outlawed by the Gentiles because of the hatred for all things Jewish. And so I would hold up a calendar and I would say, this is the Gregorian calendar. And it was instituted in 1582. And church, we do observe the Gregorian calendar, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, January, February, March, April, May, or we would never meet up with one another. We would miss all of our appointments. The world operates by the Gregorian calendar. But there's another calendar, and it is the Jewish calendar, and it comes from God. Hallelujah. Do you know it's in the Bible? The Jewish calendar is part of the Word of God, and it's in the Bible. Now, our forefathers kicked all that out, but I order me a Jewish calendar. I ordered one recently in Jewish numbering. This, we're in the year 5784. And I've ordered me a calendar that goes all the way through, I think it's 5787. I've ordered me a Jewish calendar, and I keep up with that. I observe that as well. In Leviticus 23 and Deuteronomy 16, you'll find the seven feasts of the Lord. Listen, the feasts, everyone say feasts. Feasts. The feasts of the Lord are moeds. A moed, M-O-E-D. The feasts together, plural, are called moedim. And the feasts of the Lord are found in Genesis 1:14. Right at the beginning of God's creation, He said, I'm going to institute some feasts. Genesis 1:14. Let me read this to you. And Elohim said, let there be lights in the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons. Moedim. The word for seasons is moedim, and for days and years. So the moeds of God, the feasts of God are from his heart to his people. The moeds of God are in the eternal plans and purposes of God. From the beginning, he established moeds. In the very first chapter of Genesis. And they are, the timing is in the sky. Do you know astrology and all of that? Do you know the gospel is preached in the heavens? The gospel, if you understand that, and fakers and witches and warlocks, they can't create anything, but they take what God created and they appropriate it to their wicked selves. Are you with me? So the stars and all of that, it's all in the purposes of God. And God said there will be moedim, seasons. What is a moed? If God said in Genesis 1:14, I'm establishing divine seasons, what does that mean? Well, a moed is an appointed time. In other words, God wants to have an appointment with his people. Now, church, we have appointments with God all the time. I like to have my major appointment with God in the morning. I have an appointment with God in the mornings. I try largely to preserve and reserve my mornings for God. If I'm going to have a secular appointment, I want it to be in the afternoon. Doesn't always work out that way, but that's the intent of my heart. So there are all kinds of appointments, but God also has appointments. These are moeds. They're very special appointments. And a moed is a set time. Every year, we're going to have a set appointment with God. It's a set time. It is a sacred season. Sacred means holy. There's something holy that's going to happen during these appointed times. A moed is when God draws near to meet with his people. See, I have that special set time. Every morning, it's reserved for God. But I tell you, God has set times. I set that morning appointment. That came from me. But God determined moeds. These are set times, sacred appointments. But do you know the Gentile church was taught to disregard every bit of that. Yet it's in the very structure and fabric of creation. But we were taught, throw everything Jewish away. Disregard it. It has nothing to do with us. The feasts are a means God uses to communicate with his people. It's a means of communication. The feasts are to deepen our faith, prepare us for the future, and enlighten our hearts. So there is purpose in moeds. They are times of insight. You'll receive insight if you make yourself available, that God is releasing in that set time for those who avail themselves of his presence. They are times of insight, revelation. Every year I receive revelation. as I avail myself of God's set times of his moeds to hear from him. There are times to make adjustments and realigning our lives with heaven. There's Passover. And Passover is, there are three feasts in Passover. It's Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, and First Fruits. And then 50 days later, there's another Moed. And it is Pentecost, where we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. God wants to meet with us again at Pentecost. And then in the fall, there what is called the Fall Feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, which is Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and then Feast of Tabernacles or Booths. That has not been fulfilled yet. The Feast of Tabernacles concerns the eternal future. We know that Passover's been fulfilled because our eternal sacrifice has been made. Pentecost has been fulfilled because the Holy Spirit has been poured out. But do I know all about Passover? No, I don't. Every year I look forward to learning something about Jesus' sacrifice and his resurrection from the dead that I did not know before. God promises he will meet with me and tell me things I have not known. Secret things of the covenant are released during Moeds. And then 50 days later, there's another Moed, the Feast of Pentecost, and he promises me I'm going to learn some things about the Holy Spirit and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that I have not known before. Isn't that exciting to think I can deepen my acquaintance with the Holy Spirit? And then in the fall, it's September, October-ish, I'm going to learn some things about preparing for eternity and living in eternity. I'm going to meet with God, and secret things that he's reserved for those who observe the feast will be released to his people. Hallelujah. Why do we have the feast? Why did God establish the feast? Number one, for fellowship. He draws near for fellowship to those who lift their hearts to him. He says, I will draw near to him who draws near to me. So there are set times. I mean, I draw near every day, but church, there are set times to draw near. And these times cannot be duplicated any other way than to do it God's way. Why would I want to improve on God's way? I don't think I'm capable of improving on what God has instituted. May I hear an amen? Amen. We all agree I'm not capable of improving on the Bible. Hallelujah. It's foolish to even dream that I could. And so the feasts are established for fellowship. It's a very special time of fellowship. And the feasts are established for further revelation. Further revelation. Never think you know it all. Never think you understand it all. I'm always having the Lord fill in the blank spaces. Hallelujah. Gaps are identified. And there's a word he releases, and I just, if I'm listening to a message, I just have to pause that message and say, thank you, Lord. I never thought of it that way. I never saw it that way before. Hallelujah. And so he comes to reveal his heart to his people. And we never know how that's going to be revealed. He's the God of surprises. He's always surprising me. And he does that through revelation. Church, he comes that he might enlarge our hearts to know him. There's an enlargement of our hearts that comes through keeping the feasts and just presenting ourselves before God. And he comes that we might know his will. Listen, this is so important for us today. That we might know his will in the day and hour in which we're living. We need that divine communication. Because it would be real easy right now to watch the news and read articles online and watch all the turmoil and chaos, much less the lies that are spewing all across the earth every day. It's just, the lies are almost unbearable to even listen to. And so I just have to present myself to him to hear the truth from him. And church, I'm still under revelation. He will give us divine instruction. Revelation includes divine instruction. Hallelujah. And then number three, why? What are the purposes of the Moeds? Is divine blessing. For those who align themselves, he releases divine blessing because it is God's eternal purpose to bless his people, to make us the head and not the tail. I don't know, you may have come in today and you felt like the tail instead of the head. You know, there are days we can feel that way. But he comes through his divine blessing and he works in our lives so that we assume our position. I'm the head and not the tail. And he causes us to be above and not beneath. And to be blessed as we go out and blessed as we come in. Hallelujah. And so that divine blessing, we receive divine blessing when we present ourselves to God during the Moeds to receive from him. Now, this is very important. I'll never forget the first time I said this in the church in Kenya. Mama Richard Mushai's mother is here. She's in my church in Kenya, but she's here today. And I'll never forget the first time that I made this statement. The feasts usher us in to God's divine cycle of blessing. I mean, the church got so quiet. Every year, God has a cycle for us to go through. And it is a cycle of blessing. And it's the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And as you cycle through year after year, year after year, these are cycles of blessing. And we present ourselves to the Lord for fellowship and all that goes with that, for divine revelation and for divine blessing. And he cycles us through that year. And we find, I'll tell you, you'll find that you've at least overcome one significant issue in your life. Just by presenting yourself to the Lord. These are cycles of divine blessing that God instituted in Genesis 1:14. But they were removed by our Gentile church fathers who despised the Jew and everything Jewish. Rome, instead of Jerusalem, our beloved Jerusalem, which is called in the Bible the city of the King. It's called the heavenly city. And so forth. God will never forsake Jerusalem. But our forefathers did forsake Jerusalem. Our Gentile forefathers. But the feasts usher us into God's cycles of divine alignment with heaven. Divine alignment with His timing. And divine blessing. So I don't walk around empty anymore, knowing I'm saved, but not experiencing much of salvation. Understanding from the Word that time is in God's hand, but not experiencing much divine timing. And reading from the Word, I'm blessed with faithful Abraham. But why can't I pay my bills? Why am I in debt? Why do I have so much lack in my life? And you may say, well, I've made so many mistakes, and I didn't have a good education, and I've always had a low-paying job, and all kinds of reasons. But I'm telling you, there is divine blessing that doesn't have anything to do with your job. Are you with me? Doesn't have anything to do with all the mistakes that you've made. Are you with me, church? It's called the divine blessing of God. And do you know it comes through these moeds? As we position ourselves before God in humble submission and delight. Lord, I can hardly, you know, I've practiced this for years. So my attitude is, Lord, I can hardly wait to hear what you've got to say to me about the coming season. I can hardly wait. See, we're entering Passover in just a few days. I can hardly wait for you to tell me what's on your heart. And how I need to adjust my life to be in heavenly alignment with all you've purposed for 5784 or 2024. That's Gentile 2024. But 5784 is Hebrew. And so year after year, we're invited to participate in these feasts and hear from the Lord, have close fellowship with Him, receive instructions, worship Him with first fruit offerings, and continuing to step forth in His unfolding plans and purposes. Jeremiah 6:16 has been on my heart the last few years. I've prayed it frequently, taught it to the church in Kenya, but Jeremiah 6:16 in the Amplified Bible says, thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask for the ancient paths. They may have been hidden from you because of belief systems and lack of exposure and so forth. But the Lord says, ask for the ancient paths. Where the good way is, if it's a good way, it's God's way. Then walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. One time I found myself really resisting the Lord, and it was actually about transitioning from Kenya back to the United States. And I've confessed to people, you know, it took me over 2 years to quit wrestling about that. And God gave me this scripture during that time. And when I saw that, I said, Well, Lord, you know, I've not returned to Kenya to live there, but my heart has certainly not been in this shift. So I might as well have been saying, I will not walk in this. Because everything with God is hard. You can be obedient, but really resentful. Really rebellious in your heart. Yes, you're doing it, but you've got an attitude. I know I'm the only one. I know I'm the only guilty one in the place. I just did not have a good attitude. But the Lord, and boy, did I repent. And said, Lord, I will walk in it. And I have said that so many times since he opened this up to me. Because, see, the ancient paths go all the way back to Genesis. Go all the way back before anything was created. He created the ancient paths. And he created them for us to walk in. But there are so many who say, I'm not going to do that. I don't care what Pastor Carla or Pastor Phil. Or, I'm not going to do that. Well, I said, Father, I will do that. All the rebellion or whatever, I will walk in your ways. I will obey you with a good spirit, with a spirit of faith. Hallelujah. So how do I celebrate the ancient festivals? Well, set aside time. This is what I do. I set aside time to meet with God. To pray, to listen, to read scripture, and offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and praise. In other words, this year, Passover, the first festival, has three celebrations. It's Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, and First Fruits. I set aside time to meditate on that. I might read Exodus 12, where the first Passover happened. And do you remember the meat? What they did? They took the hyssop and they struck the top and the lintels and the doorposts of the house. What picture does that form? The cross. And they went inside. It was a lamb per family. And they roasted the lamb and ate unleavened bread. What does leaven represent? Sin. But this was unleavened bread. And so they were foreshadowing who Jesus was that first Passover. And because they had applied the blood to the doorpost and lintels of their house, when the death angel passed over, what happened? They were redeemed. Hallelujah. They were redeemed. Glory to God. Let me see here. Where am I? And so I might read Exodus 12. I just am led by the Lord to return to the origin of the festival. Let me find my place. I touch something here. And then I give him a first fruit offering. Yes, when you read Exodus 23, the Lord says, bring me a first fruit offering during this festival. And so our church always sets aside a first fruit offering. I set aside a first fruit offering, and I present that first fruit offering to the Lord. The first part of my first fruit offering goes to Israel. We always bless Israel first. whether it's my tithe offering, whatever it is, Israel gets their part first. And we support an orphanage in Israel who has the most precious rabbi leading that orphanage. Let me tell you a secret, a wonderful thing that happened to us recently. So we went to Africa and we discovered all of this, these issues with Israel and the Jewish people and the wrong doctrine that was in place. And I'll tell you, the first few years I taught this, I would turn around and look at, he's my associate pastor, Pastor Davies Camori. I believe you'll meet him one day. Davies was blank. The church was blank. It was like I had not even said anything. And it was plowing hard ground. But what do? When you know it's the truth, you persevere. Year after year, we would go through the cycle of the feast. Year after year. Well, you know what happened just a month ago? Israel, this was a diplomatic tour. They were bringing some diplomats from foreign countries to come on a tour to Israel. In Africa, there are 54 nations. But I'm telling you, we're a friend of Israel. Mama Richard, is our church a friend of Israel? We're a friend of Israel. I tell you, they know us at the Israeli embassy. We've taken offerings there. We send our, as we celebrate the feast, we send our first fruits offering to Israel. They know we love Israel. There are 54 nations in Africa. Think how many pastors that would be. Hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of pastors in Africa. They chose one pastor from Africa to go to Israel. One only. There was only one person from Africa that was invited to go on this diplomatic trip a month ago. All expenses paid, airline ticket, best hotels, you meet the president, the president's wife, all of these functions that you go to meet prominent people. They took them on the site where the October 7th terrorist attack happened. They let them see what happened. And so there were meeting after meeting. Out of all of Africa, only one individual was chosen to join this tour, and it was Pastor Davies Camori. Because we continue to honor what God honors. We continue continuously for years, we presented ourselves to God on these feast days. Of course, Davies and I have spoken on Zoom calls and phone calls and everything about the trip. Y'all, it was fantastic. The trip was amazing. He said, Pastor Carly, you wouldn't believe the favor they showed me. Now, let me not forget this man's name. Not Jonathan Burness, but anyway, there's a Jewish man. I've never met him. Barry Siegel was part of this. How many of you know who Barry Siegel is? Yes, he's a prominent Jewish Christian. He fell in love with Davies. Davies had to extend his trip because Barry Siegel said, I want you to come home with me. I tell you, he's spent so much time with Davies. The favor of the Lord comes upon you in ways you can't even imagine. You can't make this stuff up. I could never have dreamed up that kind of favor. I never once thought about that kind of favor. But I tell you, when you align with heaven and you do it consistently and faithfully, the moeds of Genesis 1:14, the seasons that God has reserved to meet with his people. And guys, I just know a lot of good things are going to happen because of that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so we present a first fruit offering during the time of the feast. And then this year, Passover is from Monday, the 22nd of April, through Tuesday, the 30th of April. And I'm going to be presenting myself before the Lord. And the church in Kenya will be presenting themselves before the Lord. Lord, here I am to celebrate Passover with you. And to remember from my position in the cross is after the sacrifice. When you go to Exodus 12, they celebrated Passover and it was before the sacrifice. But I present myself to the Lord to hear from him, fellowship with him, have him instruct me, realign what needs to be realigned in my heart, tell me new things. And let me just briefly say, and I'm closing. Yeah, I've gone past my time. I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you, my dears. I didn't hear 100% say go ahead. But I'm going to go ahead and finish. Hallelujah. Thank you. So what I heard, and I mean it just came very quickly in my heart. I said, Lord, what do you want to talk to us about this year? What's on your heart? Every year it's different. I tell you, it's a time for revelation. It's a time to align with God's heart. And just very quickly I heard the blood. He wants to talk to us about the blood. He may want to renew some things in our lives about the blood. Because, church, I'm telling you, it is human to forget. We can even agree on a church doctrine and yet not have it vitally alive in our hearts. We need to be reminded. One of the things about the moeds is God putting us in remembrance. Yes. And so let me just give you a few scriptures and I'm closing. Leviticus 17:11 is so important. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. You and I would not be saved, healed, delivered, translated out of darkness into light without the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I just encourage you this Passover festival, return to the blood. I am returning to the blood. Hallelujah. And then John 6:54-56. And let me say this about the life of the flesh is in the blood. In the blood of Jesus is the life of God. The life of God is in the blood of Jesus. You don't have the life of God working. I'm talking about working in your life. It's one thing to know about it. It's another thing to be living in that blood. And you can't live on something you've heard. But we appropriate the blood every day. Every single day. Lord, I lift up the blood of Jesus. And I just want to say, take communion often. I buy those communion cups and wafers that are all in one little container, and I celebrate communion often. I encourage you to do that, to lift up the blood. John 6, 54 through 56, I mean, I've always thought this was a radical scripture. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day, for my flesh is food indeed. And we know that's the word of God. And my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. Church, let's take communion often. How can we ever thank the Lord enough that his flesh was broken for us and his blood was shed for us? And then Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame him. Are we in a season where we need to overcome? I'm telling you, God wants to emphasize his blood and the power that's in his blood in our lives in this season where I'm not prophesying this, but I'm saying it's very tumultuous. Not just in America, but America with all its brokenness and ungodliness is still the leading nation in the world. And the other nations look to us for leadership. So if the leading nation in the world is in turmoil, what do you think is happening in the other nations of the world? And they overcame him, Revelation 12:11, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. In other words, loving our lives is not the issue, but loving him is the issue. Doing his will is the issue. Presenting him to our nation is the issue. Not loving our lives and all that that means. I believe in this hour of great challenges, one of the most important things we need to do is keep our faith active in the power of the blood of Jesus. Nothing else qualifies us for victory over Satan. Nothing else qualifies. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The Lord says, fear not. 365 times in the Bible. Fear not. One for every day. And it's because of the shed blood of Jesus that we know we can get through every day in our future. And we fear not. Everyone say, fear not.
Fear not.
Say, I fear not.
I fear not.
Whatever the future may hold,
whatever the future may hold,
I fear not. Hallelujah. And church, there's only one reason for that. The blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. So let me encourage you. Apply the blood. Lift up the blood. Sing about the blood. During Easter, let me tell you, I just, my soul needed something. I was hungry for it. And I love Bill and Gloria Gaither. I don't know. I may be the only one in here that loves the old hymns and all of that. But their Easter compilation 2023 just find that on YouTube and enjoy thyself. It is wonderful. It's their Easter compilation's not the word, but it's Easter 2023. Oh, I wept, I worshiped, I rejoiced in the Lord. Oh, the anointing is on that compilation. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. So we apply the blood. We lift up the blood. We sing about the blood. We speak often with one another about the blood. We worship with the blood. We celebrate through the blood. We give through the blood of Jesus, our offerings. You know, they used to slaughter animals and the blood was sprinkled on the altar, but our offerings, we do not give grudgingly or stingily or try to get out of giving. No, we give through the blood. It's only the blood that makes anything we do acceptable unto the Lord. And church, we face every day in the power of the blood of Jesus. I've got more, but let me say amen to that. And did you get anything today? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, right where you're seated, just lift your hands, please, before the Lord. Oh, Father, we lift up grateful hearts to you, Lord. We're so thankful that you are the faithful God, the one who is true to your people. And you lead us year by year in your ancient paths, if we will submit to you. And Father, I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that we would experience a realigning of our lives with heaven in the name of Jesus. Realign our hearts. Realign our lives. Realign our families. In this year, 2024, 5784, as we meet with you to hear from heaven. Father, as we approach Passover season, may new light be granted to us. May new understanding be granted to us. May revelation from heaven be poured out upon us, and may we be able to declare, God is doing a new thing in my life. Father, we ask you for newness of life, eternal life, Father, through the power of your blood. Father, you said all things are passed away. I decree that over everyone within the sound of my voice, old things are passed away, and behold, new things have come. And we declare new things upon God's people in the name of Jesus. New blessings we've never experienced before. New favor in the name of Jesus. New grace that we've never walked in before. And we thank you, Father. Mighty are you, Father, to do a new thing. And we thank you and praise you for this Passover season. We thank you for new light. We thank you for a fresh understanding of what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. We thank you for deepening revelation in our hearts. Father, we know so little, and we're asking for more revelation in the name of Jesus. and we thank you and praise you for it. Amen and amen. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Pastor Phil.
Praise God. Were you blessed?
Yes.
Amen. Well, we're not going to leave the house without taking communion. Amen. How many of you know we're the seed of Abraham?
Yes.
And his blessings rest on us. Amen. David Ingalls wrote a song about that. Tremendous thing. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, he said, "Think not that I have come to destroy the law. I have not come to destroy, but I have come to fulfill." Jesus fulfilled, he did not do away with, the Old Testament or the Old Covenant. He ratified it and he made it better. How many of you know you still get all the best of the old combined with the new promises and the new provisions in a new covenant? When you talk about the blood, you're talking about covenant. Without the shedding of blood, there could be no remission of sin. He created a covenant in that blood. I'm going to have our men, if you would please, go ahead and get the elements. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's all about Jesus. I need my Bible, Bible, Bible. Go ahead and pass them out. Has everybody received the elements now? We don't want to leave anybody out. Paul the Apostle spoke to the church at Corinth, and he said to them, he said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" Let's just lift up the bread. Father, we're so grateful and we're so thankful for what Jesus accomplished in him becoming the supreme sacrifice for mankind. He was whipped, he was beaten, his beard was pulled out of his face, his head was placed with a crown of thorns. His blood ran down that cross onto the ground, and the rains descended and it went into the streets of Jerusalem. Father, we thank you for the stripes that Jesus took, and with those stripes you said that we have the right to be healed. So we appropriate right now, if there's any sickness, if there's any disease in our midst, right now we command it to be eradicated from our lives. And that we walk out of this building today, not tomorrow, today. We're reminding of your word, and therefore we believe and we receive what's rightfully ours. And we command our bodies to line up with your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take together. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament." It's a new covenant. in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's take the cup. Present it to him. Father, now we also remind you of a new covenant that you established in the blood of Jesus. He took that blood and sprinkled it upon the mercy seat, which ratified everything that had been done before. And he introduced a new covenant whereby a man could be born again, filled with your Spirit, and walk in the newness of life. Take on your characteristics. Be able to have its mind renewed to the ideas and the concepts that you put out in the very, very beginning. So today we thank you for the blood that has cleansed our sins and wiped them away as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered anymore. And we even bring them back up to you. You don't even remember. So why should we remember them for ourselves? Our conscience has been cleared. And so we're grateful and we're thankful for the blood that Jesus shed for us, so that we could share in this newness of life that he has promised for us. So we receive this with joy and with gladness of heart, with appreciation and thanksgiving to you for all that you accomplished. And we do it in the name of Jesus and by the power of the blood. Amen. Let's take together. Thank God for Jesus. Man, where would we be? Probably pushing up daisies somewhere. Praise God. Well, are you blessed? We want you to go on your separate ways in your cars, protected by the angels of the Lord, going before you, preparing the way. Amen. With safe passage anywhere and everywhere. As many of you as can stay behind to help us to clean up the facility, we'd appreciate you staying and doing that. What food is left in here, please, we have containers. Do we have containers in here? We have containers already prepared for you to go in, and we don't want to go home with any food. We want you to go home with the food. Amen. Praise God. All of the flowers that are on the big tables, if you would bring those and bring them in here, we have a box behind the counter that they belong in. You have something else? Go ahead and stand your feet. We're going to pray for you as you leave. Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you, Pastor Carla, for your delivery of what you brought us today. Thank you so much. Father, we just are grateful and thankful to be able to be in your presence, to enjoy our fellowship time together, to receive the Word of God, to receive communion and reminder of who our Savior is and what he's accomplished for us. And so we dismiss in your presence your love in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.